Welcome back, brothers, to the 801st Legion podcast, a Star Wars Legion podcast. We got so much to talk about today. We've got some big news dropped on us, so some spoilers we're going to go through. And we want to talk about a little bit of our day of play, go through some of the things we saw with Rebels. And without further ado, punch it, Kyle.
Hello there.
You must unlearn.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities.
Wait, red, red, some green, or red, green, red.
I know it.
Shut up, she'll do.
Sorry about the mess.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
General Kenobi.
Let's rearrange some architecture.
Is it possible to learn this power?
I thank you for your hospitality.
Good. Twice the pride, double the fall.
Impressive.
I'll show you the dark side.
All right, here we are.
Smooth sailing. You didn't do the sound effect this week.
Okay, there we go.
Life is in order. If I don't hear it twice, it just sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, well, stereo, right?
Echo. But this week has been pretty great for us here in the good old Salt Lake City, Utah. Lots of Legion to be had. News galore, right? That's the worldwide thing, right?
Lots and lots of stuff coming up. I mean, I feel like even though 2020 was such a weird year, I feel like Legion is in such a good place.
Yeah.
Not really a bad time to be a Legion player.
Yeah. I think we could end the podcast there. Legion, good place. Bye. See you.
Please leave a message after the tone. Yeah.
The 801st is not here.
It was a good time. Like, dude, my terrain came in. And, like, I know if people who know me personally know that I think about terrain more than, like, any aspect of the game. I think it's so critical. And so I had all this stuff come in. We had our major day of play. We had news dropped on us. That was huge.
That was exciting. Yep.
It was super exciting. And I'm not going to lie. I was not expecting it because we had the – all right, so we had that live stream.
Yeah,
AMG,
there was a series of events.
The live stream happens, right, and they're painting up – what was it, Callus?
It was Lando that day. Yeah. It was the second time they had painted Lando.
Oh, that's right. It was the second time they painted Lando. That's right, because they're doing the Valentine's Day one. Or
it fit
or whatever,
the theme,
the
yeah.
Pink. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got our boy, Luke Eddy, showed
Luke
up.
Betty.
Luke Betty. Bond the Bobcast. Yeah, he was there, and we were expecting some news. And he, like, gave us just, I love you, Luke. You might be in the FFG mentality of things, but Will Schick was totally telling you, bro, just spoil the card.
Yeah.
Just tell them what it is.
I don't know. Should I tell them? Yeah, you should. No.
And he beat around the bush. I can't blame him,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, like, in all seriousness, like Matt said, like, it was definitely one of those things where it was like, I think he's just reverting to, like, the FFG, like, strictness, where I feel like AMG is so much more loose with how they release stuff and how they show stuff off. And I don't know. I could be wrong. We could be wrong. But that's the impression we got, where it's like, this is a new territory for Luke Eddy. So is he allowed to tell us?
I'm allowed to say things.
Is he testing me? It is it is my boss.
Yeah. Right? Well, and that's – it's so funny because then literally the next day they just dropped the articles out of
like,
nowhere.
It's like he got on the phone like, Luke, buddy, I tried to give our fans something here.
I already hit send on the articles. They're going out. It's too late.
Yeah. But, it was really interesting that, like, the next day we got both. And I love that we got both characters. It wasn't like, oh, Thursday, you get Lando. Then next Thursday.
2 weeks
from now,
we get one other.
It's like, they're going to come out at the same time. You might as well spoil them at the same time, you know?
Right. It was funny is I wasn't even done with the first article before another person on the Discord actually, like, linked us the other ones. I think it was Mr. Pleb.
Yeah.
So it was back-to-back.
So we got both of them. Do you want to start with Callus here, our boy in black?
Let's do it. The god of mutton chops.
The mutton chop god.
I mean, usually people talk about mutton chops, like, in a bad way, like Starburns from Community. Mm. But dang, he rocks those chops,
oh,
man.
Dude. That's one thing. I think we're just going to call this expansion the Sideburn expansion.
Who said that earlier?
That was me.
That was me. Okay. Yeah. The Sideburns expansion.
Because someone's like, yeah, he has some great sideburns. And then someone's like, well, Lando has some great sideburns as well. I'm like, it's a Sideburn expansion.
I always wondered why they picked these two for the parody. Well, now you got it.
Yep. I mean, thematically, I feel like they kind of feel, they feel at, I don't know, parity with each other in a lot of ways in within the world. I could be, no, I'm not going to say I could be wrong. That's exactly what's going on here.
It really is.
What? So do you just want to walk us through Kallus's card? Have we gotten all of that revealed?
We've got it. So
okay.
We've
just got a little refresher then.
Yeah, so a little bit of refresher. It's all here. We're going to kind of walk through it. We've seen the card before. We knew the points, but we've also got all of his command cards. So we'll That's go through right. those in a second.
Yeah.
A quick refresher. So Agent Kallus, Hunter of Spectres. That's something to bring up later.
Yeah.
90 points. He's got a command slot, a training slot, a gear slot, and a weapon slot. He has Contingency 2, Cunning, Flawed, Sharpshooter 1, Tactical 1. 6 health, 2 courage, red die saves. Obviously, I feel like if you're wearing any kind of plating or armor, you're going to get it. And this is a really cool part. He surges to crit, which I really like.
Yes.
His melee is not too bad either. It's 2 red, so it's not crazy good, but it's still decent, very consistent. And he has a gun that's 2 black, 1 white, range 1 to 2 with pierce 1.
Yeah.
So that's Kallus.
That's if you just decide not to do the armament upgrade, which is going to be crazy.
Right.
So do you want to go over that real quick? Because we have just a quick refresher as well on those weapon cards. So do they have that talked about in this article?
Like the weapons?
Yeah, the weapons.
Yeah. So they have the J-19 bow
that's
rifle.
Right, that's
here.
Right.
Yeah. And just kind of real quick what that is it's his armament. It's 1 to 3. It's a red die and 2 black and a white. A single white with lethal 1, and it's got reconfigure so for 25 points, which is it's not a little amount. It's enough for you to kind of consider taking it or not. Mm-hmm. It's in that like gray zone where sometimes if you really want to, go ahead, take it, build them out. I think the reason to do that would be because of the backside, because he's got that reconfigure. So when you recover, you can swap the side of the card to the other side, which is the same dice pool, the red with 2 blacks and 1 white, but it's melee only. You gain charge. While defending against a melee attack, you gain immune pierce. So what's really cool is it's the same effect as the IRG upgrade.
Yeah, and so, the immune to pierce is actually going to come in real clutch when we talk about his command cards, too.
Really?
Because I have something that I think is going to be really interesting to
talk
about.
It's going to be so cool, right? And you also gain lethal 1.
Lethal 1.
So
with tactical, you're going to have it at your options, or in your options.
Well, and we've talked about like how the Empire could really do with like some cheap Jedi or cheap like melee options to kind of counter Jedi or just whatever's going on. This is something that can do that. I mean, because he can be that melee option for you. I mean, pierce and melee is not something to laugh about. Because granted, he is the equivalent of 1 Grievous lightsaber, but that's not bad.
Yeah. So kind of, that's a discussion for another day. But quickly, I can't help but think about Inquisitors, like with that, like maybe just a little bit better than this. But like I said, that's a discussion for another day.
Oh, yeah. And that's a whole other set of points. Like that, you're paying 130, 140 at that point.
So one thing I want to jump to is his command cards. We got one, which is Face Me, right? We've seen that one. And that is the one where it's his 1 pip, right? And we see it's Agent Kallus only, gains Agile 1 and block. During Agent Kallus' activation, he may perform a free recover action. So that triggers the reconfigure. So if you need to quickly switch to your long range or your melee, you got it. You got it ready because it's just that free recover action. And then enemy units engaged with Agent Kallus cannot withdraw. I love that so much.
Do you know who likes to withdraw a lot?
Op Luke.
Oh, my gosh. And especially from this week. And we'll talk about that later.
But. Yeah. And that really ties nicely into his 2-pip, which was really revealed. Do you want to go over ISB Investigation?
Absolutely. This is, I think, one of the things that most people are excited about. Like, when I think about his cards. And it's just so absolutely wild. So let me get that pulled up.
Oh, I can
do it.
You
got it pulled up? Do you want to pull it out?
Oh, yeah. You got it?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, it's right here. You click on the buttons to go through the pictures and skip one.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
It's a trap. ISB Investigation. And we've got a cool pic of Kallus looking at the ghost and Sabine and Hera. And it's Kallus and one other unit to give orders to. And it says, declare a number and choose an opponent. That opponent sets aside, face up, any command cards in their hand that have a number of pips equal to the declared number. That opponent returns these command cards to their hand after they select a command card in a subsequent round. That is so cool. That's such a cool effect.
Tell me, like, the premier situation when you want to use this command card.
No, I'm honest. Like, they mentioned in the article, like, when Luke, you know he's setting up the Son of Skywalker mm-hmm. turn. But, like, dude, imagine you've got, like, the Dooku turn.
Ooh.
You've got the other turns. Like,
that's good.
You know Anakin wants to set up his, like, search crit.
Mm-hmm.
You know he wants his other stuff.
Yeah.
You know you're about to get hello there. You know Palpatine is about to pop his one pip or his two pip. So you name that number, and then they set us. So what you do is you set them aside. So you take them from your command hand, put them aside. You still play a command card for that turn, but the next turn you cannot choose those other two. So it's a turn that you have without those as an option, which is just, oh, like in those critical moments when the game needs to turn. You're not getting your extra rules.
Yep. Yeah, and I think this – I love how you brought up all those because, like, that one turn could just change the tide. Real quick side note also, this is the first Art of Hera Syndulla we have in the game.
It is. I like that ties into, like, he's the agent of Spectre.
Yeah.
So we can talk about speculation later, but I would not be surprised if we start seeing ghost crew members.
Oh, later. It's going to be so great when we do, because we know they're coming.
Oh, it'll be so good.
Oh, Lord, they're coming. something I want to bring up with this, though, is, like, it directly sets up for Face Me, right?
So,
Kallus, in a normal day, would hate to fight up against Luke. He would hate that, because he's going to pop one of Son of Skywalker, kill him immediately.
Bye-bye, yeah. Kallus.
But you pop the two-pip, put Son of Skywalker away, okay? Then you get in melee combat. So now guess what? If he wants to do you serve your master well, you can't because he's in melee combat. You can't shoot into melee. You completely shut down Luke's options for those low pip cards that are just going to wreck a low point commander like this. And then you pop Face Me, and then you, like, they can't withdraw. So you are stuck. And I love that.
You're stuck. He's got charge. And the cool thing is he's got cunning. He has cunning. So if he takes away...
How many characters have that so far?
Oh, three, actually.
Three.
Yeah. Krennic, and now Kallus, which I like that it's like a dark side thing. You know, it's like I've done my look. I'm very smart, intelligent. I imagine we'll get it for Rebels also with, like, maybe if we ever get, like, an Ackbar character or something. But I don't know. Maybe it's like a Hera. No, I don't know. Maybe not. She's not, like, I don't know if it would be her.
Yeah, no, but I totally get what you're saying, though. Like, but I do think it's going to be it's definitely, like, a dark side. Like, maybe we'll get one or two eventually.
Like spy stuff.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like it's definitely more – I guess I want to compare it to Nimble in a lot of ways. Sure, it shows up in Empire, like, once or twice. But, like, guess who else has it? Rebels everywhere.
Right, it's, like, their thing. Yeah, I totally agree. And, like, it's just so cool to see he can get in there, he can do his stuff. Like, when you've got cunning, it doesn't, like you're already going to win the pip tie anyways.
Yeah.
So you get your stuff first.
Yeah.
But then when you just eliminate the need completely.
Yep.
So.
Do you see Kallus run, do you think he runs sufficiently as, like, a solo commander?
I'll be honest, I'm not so convinced of that. No.
Okay.
I think because if you want to run a solo commander, you're trying to throw a lot of focus on them, right?
Yeah.
So you're thinking, what can I take to make them better? So you're taking, like, Iden, and Iden as a solo commander is great because you can run her with Spec Ops because they feed so well.
Yeah.
Vader, you can do that because you run so many things that work with him. You run Palpatine, you do it because you can just take IRGs, you can take Snows. Him, I don't know who the units are you would run with him. You could run a bunch of support, but he does a lot for himself and for the army, but I don't feel like he does... like other units do enough for him. Does that make sense?
No, I would agree wholeheartedly.
He wants to be in the action. He doesn't want to be sitting back like Veers or generic.
I do feel like it's going to be very tempting for people to do that, though. And I can't wait to see it. Because at 90 points, that's Rex, right? Like, that's kind of a good spot to be at. Less than 100, but still, like, with his command cards and his abilities he has going on, that contingencies is going to be really strong. And speaking of contingencies, do we want to cover that last... command card?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about Ruthless Tactics here. That's the one that we're talking about. It's his 3-pip. It's Agent Kallus and 2 units. This is his most supportive, but this is where I think he's better for other people. Because he says after an enemy unit defends against a ranged attack, it gains 1 observation token or 2 observation tokens if it has a number of suppression tokens equal to or exceeding its courage value. And then during Agent Kallus' activation, he may perform a free recover action. Now, that's two cards that are letting him flip between the bow rifle and his melee. So a couple ways to set that up there if you do want to take him.
Like maybe you're deployed in the wrong thing. Like maybe you're like, oh, man, I probably should have. You can see a play that you didn't see before. Like, oh, man, I should have deployed with the melee option. Well, flip leech, quickly change it, and then maybe your opponent reacts like, "Well, I'm good. I still got it." You know, yeah, it's very reactionary.
Yeah, and it very much is it's a may, so you don't have to do it.
Yep, that's really exciting about that.
What do you think about the observation tokens?
This is their first appearance in Empire.
Yeah,
and again, it kind of seems to be one of those things that like the quote unquote bad guys have over. Because the rebels won't have it yet, and the clones won't have it yet. So, interesting.
It is. Yeah, I was thinking about how you would use this card, and it's Kallus and two people, and he can do a recover, right? So.
Oh, and also, I love how it says two units, not two trooper units.
I thought that was so key because Empire is really good at suppressive, right? Yep. So you can either do vehicles or. You know, E-webs if you need to. But my guess is you want to play this, maybe not turn one, probably turn two to set up. Maybe even like turn three if you're getting close. Pass it to your shore troopers who can then give it to your mortars. Your mortars go, they pass out the suppression tokens. You get as many observations as you can. And then with Kallus, you don't need to take offensive push because you can just move, like take your cover, get your J rifle out there, move, charge. Hit somebody in melee, and if you need rerolls, just spend the observation tokens.
That's good.
Or are they only for ranged? I can't remember the observation tokens.
Actually, yeah, you would know more than that on that one than I would. I think it's just tokens, because it's only a reroll. So I think it's just one reroll, no matter if it's melee or ranged. But I could be wrong. But moving on from that command card, we also have. Something really cool in this article that they talk about how they're going to give us more cards that, like, the Empire and Rebels haven't had yet. So that's really good to see because I know a lot of people, a big reason they get turned off of certain miniature games is they get the necessity to, like, buy everything. And so having the option where you're still going to get cards and expansions that you, for your faction, that are really good, like Ascension Cables, excuse me. An Empire player getting that. It's really cool. Did you have the observation token answer?
No,
okay, cool, cool. So yeah, but yeah. Anyways, what are your thoughts? Do you think that's needed? I don't see anyone saying that's a bad thing.
I mean, we can get into it a little bit later with the tournament. This weekend. Because I did put them on IRGs because before you would run out like on what is it environmental gear. So you get unhindered. It's really nice. I liked it. And if you are an Empire-only player, I think there are definitely places for it. I think Iden, potentially. I have seen people put them on ISF because that's a pretty cool way to do it. I've seen people, like, just because if you get that scale for that tax strike turn, you can move scale. You still get your aim and then off the move, not the scale. Or the climb, but then still shoot people from range. So I think there are a lot of places, especially in those Iden gun lines, that it could work super well.
Yeah. Oh, and quickly with Kallus, something we don't want to forget is this flaw card got spoiled. That's a big deal.
Yeah, this is the one Luke was talking about. This is the one he skirted the edges.
It's called Developing Sympathies. It's the flaw card for Agent Kallus, of course. You may play this card at the start of the command phase. If there is a wounded enemy agent Kallus, at the end of the enemy agent Kallus' activation, if he performs an attack, he gains 4 suppression tokens. I'm just going to say one thing, and then it's going to be the end of it. I called it. Everyone's like, what do you think what do you think the flaw card's going to be, huh? And I was like, yeah, you bitch, Madam Dollar. It's going to be suppressions enough to panic him. I don't know why I developed that, like, New Jersey accent.
The Jersey accent. He's going to take 4 suppression tokens.
I guess it's not quite New Jersey, but you get what I'm saying. Now that's New Jersey.
Well, it's funny because it actually ends up just being 3 suppression tokens because at the end of the turn, you're just going to take one away.
Well, I mean, if I keep focusing you, that's going to be a whole lot more than four.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
If I attack you once, that's enough to panic. So you have to get some off. So it's going to be, that's going to be really scary to go up against. And I'm really glad it's not just a copy of Anakin's flaw card, because I know that was a theory out there that, like, oh, it's just going to be, like, the same conditions, but, so they can't issue an order to their commander. Which, I mean, I guess it'd be fine, but, like, this adds so much more flavor to the game.
What do you think about the fact that two out of his three command cards give him a free recover action to just clear away the suppression?
Ooh.
You see what I mean?
Ooh. Is this not harsh enough, you think?
I don't know, because I'm thinking, like, obviously, like, you roll your dice, you're probably going to get one off, so you don't panic.
Yeah.
But then you get a free recover action, so you just say, oh, dang. Oh, well, anyways. But, yeah.
Oh, no. Anyway.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's like the meme. Like, and that just hit me right there, where I was like, I don't know if this bothers him that much. I'm sure there are times where, because I'll be honest, like, we can talk, I kind of wanted to get to this a little bit later, maybe even next, but I think Kallus's best run with, like, Vader, I think he's a good support for Vader. I think him and Iden is going to be really interesting, to have Iden as kind of like your gun shooter, him as your close range response.
Hold on. I think I know how this works out timing-wise, but I have to check the wording on one of his cards. Yeah, okay. So that doesn't apply, because timing-wise, when you don't do any actions until after you check your suppression.
Yeah, no, so you check your suppression.
So you check your suppression. If you meet your panic, you don't get an activation, you panic.
It's true. So but you don't like, get to I do don't the free... think it's going to happen that much, though, because you get a it's at the end of his activation. So if he's sitting in the open, you just got to – you like, let's be real. So you give him the suppression, right? Mm-hmm. He removes one at the end of the turn. No panic.
Okay, so now he's at three.
If he's running with Vader as a commander, or,
it wouldn't matter anyway.
or Iden, doesn't matter. He doesn't care. He gets that free action. If it's him by himself or with somebody who's got two, then he'll have to take his check. But at that point, like, unless you got shot again after you've taken your turn,
right,
or you got hit by a suppressive weapon, you're not panicking.
Right.
You had three. So there
and
are
I think
those
that's the right way to balance it.
Yeah, so you find your situations, but I think 9 times out of 10, it's not applicable. The nice thing is also as an Empire player is if you do have other focus pieces, this will take it off because your opponent has to decide, do I want to focus him down to make his card actually hurt or not? I guess it also hurts in the fact that you don't really want to use his cards that much.
Yeah.
Because he's got contingency. So
right.
Maybe put his cards on the back burner just for these situations, but if you are playing with somebody else, you probably want to be playing their cards more than his.
Yeah, well, and also you can't underestimate the fact that, like, I'm gonna play around, and there's value in this where your opponent, if playing it well, they're gonna make you choose. Okay, you can recover Kallus, or you can use your other commander's card that I know you really want to use.
Yeah, like Vader was gonna go,
but now
first, but now are you gonna save Kallus?
Yeah. So I like how there's a checks and balance there. And it's very similar to my boy Anakin. Like, before Anakin came out, everyone, I feel like, was like, oh, man, he's just going to panic all the time. He's going to panic. And I think this gives merit to what you're saying here, is that, like, I've had it a couple times where my opponent plays the flaw card on me. But it's usually, like, a misplay on my part. Like, I did something wrong. Because, like, Anakin loves to be in melee combat.
Right.
He loves to ping pong. He loves to be, like, within range 2 of Padme. Like, if you're doing those things, like, you meet the conditions of his cards, and then you won't ever get suppressed because it's ranged attacks, and then you don't have to worry about it. Or it's melee attacks, so you don't have to worry about suppression.
I'm finding the flaw cards are so interesting because they add so much flavor to the character, right?
Yeah.
Because it's those story beats. And I know, like, Luke Eddy talked about that in the stream, too, where the flaw cards and the – well, it's not the flaw cards, but the characters in general. When they build the characters, they're trying to think, how can we translate who this character is in the media to the game? Which is why we get, like – I remember somebody asked Alex Stavey the same question. They're like, why the heck does Leia have a 3 black dice gun with sharpshooter 2, surge, crit, whatever?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, because if you look at the show – well, the movies, and then whenever she shows up in media, she shoots the least amount of times, but that's because she is consistently the most accurate out of Han, Luke, and everybody else. Like, she's hitting her shots all the time. So she doesn't have to shoot much. So it's funny how they translate that, and I think that's what this and Anakin's do, is they're not – they're meant to hinder you a little bit, but it just more adds flavor to how the game is played.
No, I just agree.
It's interesting. Plus, let's be real. He's got tactical one, so his action economy is ridiculous. Because even if he's suppressed, he can still move attack.
Yeah.
Or move charge if he's got his recover or he's got his J rifle. There's some stuff. Like, I honestly think Kallus is very good. And I honestly would rather run him over the IRGs, if I can be honest.
Spicy?
Hot take. That's like a very hot take, and we'll get to that later on why that is. But I guess other thoughts? I mean, I feel like a lot
of people have been trying to make Op Vader work with Palpatine to like pull the strings. Maybe there's a cheaper way to do that kind of same effect with, because like maybe you don't want IRGs, you want that, you know, gun line and then the flipping IS or the special forces. So, like, IRGs don't do it for you with your build, and maybe this is, like, a better way to do it.
Oh, use him as your melee boy?
Yeah. Pull the strings with him. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah. It's very cool because, like, when you play Jedi, you want to have dodge tokens on him, right? And you want to have aim tokens, so you're efficient. Kallus's one pip gets him agile one, and he always has already has tactical one. So if you play as one pip and you get two move actions off and then your charge, because he's got charge on his bow rifle, right? I just want to double check that, so I'm not like. You gain charge.
Yeah,
that's two aims, two dodges.
It's pretty good.
Which is great because you've got lethal one in melee, so you get one to reroll, one to spend for Pierce.
Good old Pierce, he's a good guy.
Mr. Pleb is a great guy. He doesn't have block, so he doesn't get the search defense. But like, when you've got red dice saves, that's not bad.
Not bad at all. Any other thoughts on Kallus before we move on to our other sideburn boy?
I don't know. I think, like, who do you think you run him with the most?
Oh,
I ask because of the contingency. I think we'll see a lot of Kallus alone play, but, like, if you do run him with the second commander, who is it?
I think just with how popular it is right now, Iden is, like, a clear choice. I threw out Palpatine as, like, a maybe. It's hard to say because you can't go someone super expensive because that's like really top heavy for your list. So like, I don't know. That's a great question because I don't have enough comfortability with Empire to necessarily speak to that. But outside looking in, Vader or Palpatine would be really interesting to see.
And like I just played Commander Vader over the weekend for the day, and he's so slow. But if I was able to take all, you know, maybe all of his cards, take some generics, and then take, because you get five card, you get multiple cards at that point. Mm-hmm. Dude, I would definitely like to have Kallus there with me, backing up my boy Vader.
Yeah,
maybe do Op Vader, so you can still have a commander to issue orders from with Kallus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just so you can fulfill that requirement. Something like that. I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, no, I dig it. I dig it indeed. But moving on to Lando here, just a quick refresher on his card, 105 points, a little bit more expensive than Kallus. Contingencies 3, so one more than Kallus. And also just a quick refresher, contingencies, we've talked about it like a small amount, but just in case you're unfamiliar with this card or this new ability, it's going to let you set up 3 extra command cards as contingencies. They're set off to the side, kind of briefly talked about it earlier, but that's where that comes into play. Covert ops, we've seen that with Cassian and Iden. Flawed, great, fantastic. I'm not mad. Sharpshooter 2, unlucky or uncanny. Oh yeah, unlucky luck 2.
Feels like it sometimes.
Feels like it. Uncanny luck 2. White saves, predictable. 6 wounds, 2 courage. Search crit, search the defense. So. Love having both surges available.
Classic Rebels.
Yep. Range 2 speed and 1-3 blaster, red and a black, pierce 1, black and a white, melee combat. Got a command, training, and gear slot for upgrades. He's a unit. He is a unit in a game.
He's a sewer. That is the thing.
So we had, Ace Up His Sleeve revealed before? Was that the one that they revealed before? Did they reveal really any? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was just Ace Up His Sleeve, the one where you can discard that card to issue an order to somebody.
Okay, yeah. And that's something that I really liked that they specified in this stream, is that Kallus and Cassian can kind of, or not Cassian, Kallus and Lando can kind of play these some of these cards like out of turn. More so with Lando, I think, actually. But like, it's interesting because if they're set aside as contingencies, they have some quirks to them. But we'll get to that. So let's start with Asa up his sleeve, just as a quick refresher. You want to walk through that card for us, Matthew?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have seen this one before. So it'll be just a quick run through because, I mean, we have seen it. Let me pull it up here. Sorry, the article is great. It's not the best.
It's like out of order, so I get it.
It is. Have you got it pulled up there, actually?
Actually, I don't think it's even in this article.
I know. It's funny.
But it's like it's in a picture, but it's just blocked. But it's like when Lando Calrissian.
I was going to say because it's so funny because they had all the other two set up.
Yep. But it's Lando Calrissian and like another unit or two units. I can't remember. But the units gain a dodge or aim token, and then it. I mean, it's good. There's a different ability.
Okay. So it is exactly like he was saying. It's Lando Calrissian and one unit. Great that it's a unit. And when Lando issues an order to a unit, it gains a dodge or a standby token. And
then, standby, not aim.
Yep. And then there's the line for a separate way to play the card, and it says before drawing from your order pool, you may instead discard this card from your contingencies or hand. If you do, issue an order to Lando Calrissian or a friendly unit at range 1-2 of him, then activate that unit. That's super cool. So it's like seize the initiative plus.
Yeah.
Because it's also a unit. Like it doesn't have to be. There's no restrictions on this one. It's just somebody. You pick them, they go.
I have seen some miscommunication online of people thinking that this means a double activation. It's not. That is the unit you're going with. It's not that you pull on another unit or you activate Lando and that's another free activation. That's not how this works.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure like at tournament play, they'll have you reach into your bag and shuffle through to find the token and put it out. Because when you're finished, that's when you add the token. Mm-hmm. Just so that way it's taken out of your draw pool so there is no such thing as a double draw.
Yep. Cool. I mean, solid card though, right? Like pretty dece, as they say.
Honestly, it's very good. And I like how it says you can discard it from your hand or your contingencies. So essentially, you just put it there because it's a responsive thing. And I think we've all had those games where you give your orders out to the people you need, but your opponent does something that makes you like really regret that.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've got a core trooper who has an opportunity for something to interact with a box or a spec ops unit. This lets you do that right away. Yep. It's very nice.
And especially if you do the covert ops thing, like, and you infiltrate, but you wanted to do another command card to get, like, the benefits, for example.
Yeah.
And so you get that infiltrate, you get on a box, for example. Well, Ace up his sleeve, I'm actually going to activate Lando now.
Do this thing.
I see Vader actually infiltrating, too.
I'm out of here. Yeah, let's get out. Or I was just thinking about how many times people with air speeders this weekend wanted their air speeder to go, but they didn't issue an order to it because you also have to have your spec ops units go. These other units have to go. And that's when you're playing droids, you don't have to worry. But, man, how nice would it be? Because it says one unit to have be like, you know what? I know these guys are out of position. Let me just ace them off the table real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Get some quick activation control.
Or
you
maybe
know.
You have Luke's card out. He has an ability. You need him to go. Well, or you've played a different card that doesn't have Luke on it. There's a lot of things. I think this is solid.
Yeah. Solid play, solid card. Moving on to his 3-pip, however, it's called All In. And it features Lando in his undercover, you know, armor that we see him in Return of the Jedi. I love that.
This would be a really cool alternate model. Just saying.
Yep, just saying. I do kind of think it's weird that we see a stripper in the background.
I know, I saw that. I wanted to get on Discord and be like, a Jabba's Palace dancer's confirmed for at least 2021.
Distract one token. Oh, anyways, the orders go to Lando Calrissian and two units. Each enemy unit at range 1-3 and in line of sight of Lando Calrissian gains 2 observation tokens. So I guess we are seeing observation tokens show up in Rebels. Before Lando Calrissian rolls dice during an attack, you may declare a dodge or a block or a crit result. After your reroll dice step, if there is at least one of the declared result and 2 matching results, or add 2 matching results, if there is not, your opponent removes up to 2 dice. Okay, let's break that down. What does this mean?
So you have to understand how these steps work. So when you attack, you choose who's your unit, who's activating. You declare attacks. You gather your dice pool. You roll your attack. Then you spend your tokens to reroll. Then you move to converting surges, apply dodge and cover. Then you modify your dice.
Yes.
So that's how that works when you are going as the attacker. We're not going to cover the defender because that doesn't quite work. Well, it does for the defender step when you've done your reroll. But so you do that, but before you before you roll your dice, you declare your result. You say, okay, block result or crit result. Then you roll your dice. Then you can still reroll your dice if you'd like. And then if you have at least one of the results, you add two magic results. If there aren't, you basically get the benefits of cover two by canceling two of your opponents. Yeah. Which,
so if you have cover two, you have cover four.
Or sharpshooter two.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're removing two block results.
Yeah. And something I really like is that this doesn't necessarily say only, it doesn't say once per round. Or once. So this is like the entire round. If there's an attack taking place where Lando is involved, if he's the defender or the attacker, this applies. So that's why you would want to decide, like, oh, block result or crit results, you know, something like that.
Yeah, this is so interesting because, like, with Lando, his gun is decent. It's not amazing. What I love about that is the – so because you're adding the results, like, if you add the results, I don't know. What would you like better? Because if you're an attacker and I hit the two and I add the two results, I have a potential of four, right? But then my opponent can block those. At least you've got Pierce. And I guess he's got sharpshooter, so no cover would go into that. But, like, if I almost would want the result to not show up.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But I don't know. It's kind of tricky because, like, is there any way to modify even after you take these, like, yeah,
Well, it's the reroll dice.
Right, so there's no more.
So you've rerolled, then you do your converse surges, then you apply dodge and cover, then you modify them. So because it's crit and block, there really aren't any better results to get.
Okay, and then this is something that's can.
So, like, you don't need to modify them?
Right. But also, like, okay, for this example then, this is going to. I'm asking, like, the edge case scenario question because, like, it makes me wonder. So I declare a dodge, okay? It really doesn't matter who's shooting at who in this scenario.
Yeah.
But let's say you had cover two, right? And it was a dodge result. So I remove the two dodge result. Or no, I guess it's more about a crit. So, like, you only got a crit, right? I remove that result. I just remove it. No suppression would be given then. Right? But that... because that dice
was removed. No, I totally get what you say. I totally get what you say. Because, like, does that count as a...
It's not a block.
Yeah, because if you're a defender, the result is different because your opponent's already rolled hits.
Yeah.
It's not the same as blanking out because...
I think it just needs some more...
canceling it. I think that's true, that you might need an FAQ or something on that because that is a weird one. I thought you were going to go more the route of the canceling Pierce attacks because I think that...
That's another one.
The Pierce canceling happens right away because if you add two more block results to a shot that's Pierce 1... So, like, you know what I mean? You probably, because Pierce happens on the modified attack die step, so they would cancel the results that you add. So if you're able to block all of them and then add additional results into it, you can just stop the Pierce.
Yeah.
So it's helpful there. That's true, because, like, I would assume that you probably still take the suppression because they rolled the hit. That's all that's requisite for it.
I guess I wonder then why it wasn't just related. I guess it could have just been worded differently where it's like act as though two more blocks were added. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Or instead of saying remove, like cancel two results.
Right, yeah.
Because that would be understood where, like, blocks cancel those things.
Or maybe this is the intended effect and they wrote it that way because they don't like...
So you're just not taking suppression.
Yeah.
That is true. That's going to need a little bit of an FAQ where, like, maybe I'll have to go double check the rule book, the RRG.
Yeah, maybe we're overlooking something, so let us know in Discord or in the comments, like, what you guys think at home, for sure.
It is interesting. It makes me think a lot of, like, Count Dooku's effect in X-Wing, where it's similar. You name a result, and you just get that result, as long as you didn't roll it.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool card. I really do. Yeah. I think
very
it's
complex card.
Very good, yeah. Very, very.
But yeah, let's move on to the one pip. Do you have that pulled up for us, Matthew?
Yes, the Idiot's Array. I know I'm not calling you lovely listeners at home idiots, but
thank good.
It's like it's like the best hand in sabacc.
Oh yeah,
because it's like pure sabacc, whatever. Oh, no, sabacc is the hand you get.
Yeah,
but then Idiot's Array is the only thing that beats it or something. Yeah. So this is
because they're all like gambling themes.
Yeah, exactly.
Ace up his sleeve, Idiot's Array, all in. I'm all in.
I'm all in.
Westerners now.
Rebels, Mr. Bond. How foolish. I kid. We're gonna talk. Yeah. But anyways, Idiot's Array. So it's just Lando. Lando Calrissian gains Gunslinger and Marksman. If there is a three pip command card in your discard pile, Lando gains one aim and one dodge token. Or two aims and two dodge tokens if there's a three pip and a two pip card. Or three aims and three dodge tokens if there's a three pip, a two pip, and a one pip in your discard pile. So this is pretty sweet and pretty smoking.
So pretty much the more that you have in your discard pile, pretty much like from contingencies or use, right? The better for this card. This card, not so much for another card we're going to talk about. but it's spicy. It's good.
It's really good. And like what I love about this card is you're probably not always going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very good, but you're probably not always going to have it unless you're being very Lando-centric. Like if you take Luke, you're going to take two of Luke's one-pips
Right.
The cards for Luke. The Luke's cards. The Fuas and the Poison for Kuzco.
Yes.
But or
the
maybe
Idiot's Array.
Or maybe Ambush, so you can take other stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
But what I like about this is it combos well with his 3-pip and his 2-pip, because you can do the whole Luke thing, or Anakin thing, sorry, where you go 3-2-1 go.
Yeah.
Get all those effects. Boom, done. You get just super bonuses. His attacks are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do the thing where you play his 3-pip and then his 2-pip, you just discard it at some point. Because remember, you can get that effect for the discard, right?
Yeah.
And then, bada bing, bada boom, when you play this card, you've got multiple cards in your discard. It's great. I think it's a really cool thing. I don't know if you ever really need to get all those cards, like, you know what I mean? I don't know if you ever need to get that point where you've got the three aims, three dodges or whatever. It's great to have the three dodges, but
it doesn't have nimble, and it's only him. Yeah, so I don't see why you would, I don't know.
Yeah, like, for survivability, obviously, when you think you're going to die, but, like,
if you have outmaneuver.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you've got Gunslinger and Marksman, so, like, and you already search crit, so you don't need to do too much. And you already got Sharpshooter as well. So, like, I think it is really good. But I think if you ever get to that point where you're able to successfully get two aims, two dodges, amazing. Like, I think that is, like, the best time to do it if you can. But if you can get to that three, you're golden.
Yeah, I think, But one thing I just, I'm not so sure on what this card is, that it's not an option. I guess I'm spoiled with Kenobi where it's like, I can choose what cards I want. With this one, which tokens I want, excuse me. With this card, it's definitely like one, two, or three of each. Like, I can't decide, oh, I want to go dodge heavy right now, or I want to go aim heavy right now. Hello there kind of spoils me. What can I say?
It's kind of good. I don't know, because I would. This also gives you both, so that you're not choosing.
Yeah.
So, in another world, you also get double the benefit. But let's be real, you just want the standby tokens.
Well, not even that. Actually, that didn't even come across my mind.
Oh, I just think every time I hello there, I'm always taking a standby.
Well, there's no sense in taking more than one.
Yeah, but it just makes you win that first engagement. Yeah,
definitely. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of interesting that it makes the decision for you is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But Gunslinger and Marksman is a reward in and of itself, especially when, you know, you're going to get kind of crits anyway.
Right.
It's just weird.
And Sharpshooter 2 plus Pierce, I mean, really you're just trying to make sure you get two hits through every single time. That's that's really what it's for.
Definitely. Well, that leads us right into his flaw card, actually, which I think is one. Actually, out of the two, I think this one's a little bit more interesting than Kallus's. It's called I've Altered the Deal. It's with Kallus and Vader. You know, that kind of thing. I've altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it further. I feel like that's a good impression. You concur?
I think it's a great impression.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, good sir.
You may play this card at the start of the command phase. If there are at least three cards in the discard pile of an opponent who controls Lando Calrissian, that opponent cannot use their contingencies or Lando Calrissian's command cards. This kind of sucks.
Bro,
for Lando.
Well, it's funny because, like, I love this card. Thematically, it's great because, like, it's almost like your opponent caught you, like, sneaking money from the bank in Monopoly.
Yeah.
Because, like, they see what you're doing. Because, like, they're like, this is kind of like a high tier play. They're like, oh, he played a 3-pip. He's played a 2-pip. He's going to play the 1-pip where he's played a 1-pip. And he's going to go for the Idiot's Array.
Sorry.
Nah. Sorry, bro. And, like, that totally kills you. But on another side of things, like, it also, like, probably doesn't bother you that much. Like, what if I'm going with Op Luke? Do I actually care if I play Lando's cards? And I'm probably going super, Luke heavy, right?
Yeah, it's true. It is kind of weird because, like, another one where it's, like, I don't see this being killing Lando. Like this doesn't. Again, what I'm saying is that with the theme of the flaw cards we've seen so far, this is perfectly in line with it, where it's like, okay, it sucks, but it doesn't end your career. You know, you're still going to be able to pull yourself out of a bad situation most of the time. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think this one it has potential to be very devastating. It has potential to be not so bad. I just find the command card, or sorry, not the command cards, the flaw cards, to be, I don't want to say lackluster, but to be so very strong but weak at the same time. Because these people with contingencies, like, I don't see them all the time running as individual commanders. And we've talked about that, mm-hmm. where you're most likely running them with somebody whose cards you want very desperately to have. And so a lot of these times when these contingencies come up, you're just like, cool. I've got these other people. Right. I'll work around it. Like, I have a commander with a higher courage value than Kallus. Force suppression sucks sometimes, but not as bad as it could.
Yep.
I don't care about the fact that I'm not using Lando's cards. And by that point, like, let's be real. Dude, what if you've already gotten, like, almost all of Lando's cards done?
Mm-hmm.
Just, do you care?
Yeah, like, especially if you use his three cards first, it's like, okay. Like, I guess I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, at least the nice thing is it doesn't matter what the pips are. So if you've played, like, 3-2, you know, like, both of your 3 pips and a 1 pip, you're done. But I don't know. And it is very much there to directly counter his 1 pip.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It definitely, I don't know. Like, if I were designing Star Wars Legion, I think I would have gone for something that more so, like, puts a boot to the throat, so to speak. Like Lando would have to do something that he doesn't want to do in order to not, you know, like, more action-based rather than, like, card-based. I get Lando's shtick in the game right now is, like you want to be wheeling and dealing those contingencies. Like, that's like, why you would take him, right? You want the options of all 6 of Luke's command cards and then maybe some generic cards. Also, what if you don't even take Lando's cards?
I actually had that same thought. It was like, I see Lando so much in the same way I see Leia, is like a very good backline commander.
Yeah.
Because his job is to sit with your troops while somebody else does your job. You take him because Sabine's going to run up with the Darksaber and do explosions, or she's going to do other things. But you also want to make sure you've got your, like, generic 1-pip, the one that cancels things, or you want to have you want other things. So I don't think he's getting in the fray. And, like, even his 3-pip, while it is really cool, you get that effect with the declaring results. Bro, like, I think the part that you might end up seeing the most from is actually his getting observation tokens at everybody within 1 to 3.
Mm.
I think that on top, like, with Rebel Troopers especially, or, like, anything else that shoots, or whoever you're, like, I think that part is going to be so much more applicable. Like, I don't know.
Well, keep in mind, this is one round, too. Like, you're going to have your options back next round. It's not a permanent effect. It's just for that round. So,
yeah.
Like, okay, you prevented bombs. Because that was in my contingencies. Well, you're clones, so you're still going to be together next round. It's like,
Right? I mean, I think the coolest thing is going to be him with your backline people running Vigilance, just so that way you can get your dodge tokens and stuff on people. And then
Vigilance, man.
And then feeding him to Luke so Luke can do what he's got to do. And I said, but or even Sabine or somebody.
Yeah, I think I actually love that you brought up Sabine because I do feel like that's going to be one that's more common. She's already super common, which we'll get into in a minute. But yeah, I feel like Sabine will just love having a commander that is that back person, not the generic commander, because I see them run together a lot. So
yeah, I will say I feel like. Also on top of that, like the designers, Luke Eddy and Alex Davey Rip, but like
a moment of silence.
My boy, I feel like they're starting to nail card design for the point values. Does that make sense?
Agreed.
Like yeah. I feel like they're starting to nail it because like Lando does get me pretty excited for Rebels. I think he's really cool. Mm-hmm. Kallus is the same way, where I feel like they're going to bring so much to their factions.
I agree. Anything else you want to add about Lando before we move on to our other topic?
Not really. Like, I'm super excited for both of these guys. I already just said that. Kallus is the one I'll probably end up trying out the most. Maybe I'll do some Lando and just take an Op Luke.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can, I don't know, we'll see. I'm very excited to get both these models.
Agreed.
When they come out.
Agreed.
After they get salvaged from a train.
Yes, because there's some. Kidding. Well, no, those weren't these guys.
Oh, that but was. It will that's happen. Right. That was the specialist.
Yeah.
Whether it's a, whether what's the mail server say? Whether like rain nor sleet nor snow, instead for Asmodee, it's like whether by boat nor train nor airplane that crashes.
Well, we're not going to get you. We're not.
Yeah, the opposite. I kid though. Like if
no,
you're
I
on
don't.
The, I really don't. I'm not even at all. If you're on the Discord, like Diffs has already been posting his pictures.
Yeah, shut up, Diffs.
Diffs,
just shut up.
Also, at Diffs, I saw you in that live stream when you were talking about their painting. And in the chat box, Dish pops up. He's like, "I'm having really fun painting my Republic Specialist in front of everybody on the AMG
All of
live
us
stream.
Americans are just like, "Grrr," yeah. Shaking fists.
And then he's posting pictures of his five boxes of them. Super jealous, by the way.
Five, my God. Why this boy flexing?
Bro, if it was Tac Droids, I could see it. But yeah. I know. Flex. Maybe you just want to run them. They do look cool.
Medics. Okay, sure. When am I ever getting five clone trooper units, though? Come on. All the time.
I was just gonna say every time.
That's literally my list right now. It's like my go-to. Anyway, you got a cackle out of that one. Anyway, moving on to our other topic, we wanted to quickly go over our day of play that we just had. If you didn't listen to the last episode, this last week we ran a day of play, sort of like a tournament, but not like stressful, just cash, just a little bit cash. Show up, play some games. Have a chance to win a Commander Luke limited edition.
Oh, that coveted prize of Commander Luke special editions.
Why spend $80 on eBay when you can get it if you just play the game?
For free.
For free.
And there were five. Like, that's not a little amount either.
Nope. Yeah. Yeah, so we originally got three, and then we got two through another thing. I'm not going to go into it, but it was totally legal. But yeah, so... We had some turnout, and I'm going to let Matt take point on the rest of this kind of thing just because, like, he did a wonderful job at breaking this down and totally just, like, kind of going over which ones, like, which units we saw. You know, the statistics, because this is going to be a really cool test – or not – what's the word I'm looking for? Look, a glimpse at our local meta. Granted, yes, it's heavily skewed towards Rebels because we gave people bonuses and tickets for the Luke if you played Rebels because we wanted the – unit to go to a Rebel player.
I mean, let's be real. If you play Rebels, you should be the one getting the Luke. That doesn't mean to say the rest of you boys and girls out there shouldn't have the opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, like, I do think priority should go to Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Ethan, who played Clones and Empire that day, won one, and he was like, "Nah, I'm going to give it to someone that wanted it and didn't get it." Props to you, my guy.
That was a very cool moment. Yeah, we're going to do a quick little breakdown. Kyle already explained it. Just... this is a cool way to kind of see what people think about, at least here in our local meta, when they think, "I'm going to play Rebels."
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up having 14 people, which is a great number for the day of play show up. And some people played one round, most stayed for all three.
Mm-hmm.
We had
some people came late.
Yeah, some came late, got like other shorter games in. Totally fine, and I think ended up being great. Most people got all three of their rounds. So faction breakdown, just real quick, because it wasn't just a Rebel only. We just emphasized it. We had a Droid player.
Mm-hmm.
We had one Empire player, yours truly, because I did it because I thought, if it's a day of play for Rebels and I'm not in the running for the Luke, why don't I give them like something thematic?
Yeah. But so, if you didn't play Empire would, and that was like
it
a super
have
win for you.
Showed up. I know. Yeah. Well, it's funny because like we even did like we were thinking before like top of the faction should get more tickets, but we ended up not, and I think it's a good thing.
Now, let me in on a secret. Did Obi-Wan Kenobi come to you and the Force Ghost and be like, Matthew, you must play Empire to make thematic things happen?
Little bit. I'll be honest. I kind of just wanted to play something a little different because I wasn't trying to get sweaty at this. But
I got super sweaty!
I threw together a Vader list that I was like, I think I can make this work. Because whenever I talk about Vader, everybody's like, oh, no, dude, Commander Vader's the one. And I'm like, nah, Op Vader just, he seems so much more to me. So I did Commander Vader. Commander Vader with IRGs, two storms with DLTs, two shores, two mortars, two sniper strike teams. Simple.
Yeah.
Effective, but also, oh my gosh. Okay, we'll talk about Commander Vader later, but man, he is so I used to main Empire, and this brought back so much for me. I was like, oh yeah, shores can hit so hard. Mortars are so freaking weak sometimes. They can just get one shot like Mandos. But suppressive is very nice a lot of the time. Also, I remembered how much I hate Empire snipers compared to everything else. I don't even with Rebel snipers, at least you know you have your surge hit, so you're going to get more technically. It's just so bad. But IRGs, they're something else. I forget. They hit super hard. Vader can hit super hard. My biggest gripe with the whole list, Commander Vader is so slow.
Yep.
Like, he is something else. He is there was one game with Marshall where he started going one way around because we were playing payload. And the way it turned out was he was going to take the lane on the left, I was going to take the lane on the right, and go around the center piece of terrain. Well, his army started right, juked right, and then went right left. But I had already done two or three moves left with Vader. And so
you can't recorrect
that. You can't recorrect that. It's like a boat. Yeah, it's like a slow car crash. After that, I was just – and Vader had saber throw, so he kept, like, trying to rush up and throw his saber. But throwing his saber into heavy cover means that you're basically getting one hit through. So it was
you need to put sharpshooter on him. That's your problem.
I know. Honestly, it felt so bad to be like, I'm taking a 3 red dice shot at range 2 if I can hit something. Ugh. And his closest thing to Vader was Wookiee, so I was like – doing one damage to one Wookiee model.
Take this furball.
Yeah. It was so bad. But yeah, and then the last group, we had 8 Rebels. 8 out of 14. So way more than half. In fact, that breaks down to be quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'm glad we had so many people willing to come out for it because, like, you love seeing that representation. You know, you love seeing Rebels who can sometimes get dogged on, like, oh, white saves, they don't have an identity. And then after yesterday, I definitely am like, dude, they totally do have an identity.
Like, and it sucks to play against sometimes. Yeah.
You mean all of your commanders, operatives, and spec ops infiltrate, and I don't get a box at all? Thanks.
So you mean out of 5 boxes, I got 0.
Yeah. Sounds like a deal.
You mean I killed your entire army except for a couple guys and you still won? Sounds like a droid thing. It was so – yeah, I felt like – just the day of play generally, people also felt more excited. Because I feel like everybody who picks up the game, they want to play Rebels. And I feel like the Rebel players, who a lot of them we hadn't seen in a while, walked away from the day feeling more positive about their faction. A couple other quick little fun breakdowns. I think the commanders, even though I wanted to talk about how interesting I thought that was, it really broke down to – because there was a more or less even spread – and I put casting in the commander section here for us to talk about because I found that most people were taking him as the commander. They weren't really doing the covert ops. But even if they were, there was a lot of generic commanders. Like, there was a lot. I have down the 3 here.
It could be a little off, but that's what from the pictures we took, looking back, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, looking at the list, that's what it was. And there was a lot of, like, double. So I mostly just put it down for whatever they were the most relevant commander. Because most of the time it was Cassian generic. Mm-hmm. Leia, somebody else in generic. Generic and generic. So a lot of those. So the commanders weren't, honestly, the super interesting ones. The operatives is where I think it does start to get a little bit more interesting. And I think the most interesting, and I want to talk about this a little bit more, is the supports and the spec ops. I think that's really interesting. So with the operatives, a little bit of an even spread. We had quite a few op Lukes. And there was, so just, you know, we had like one K2SO, two Sabines, a Chewbacca, one R2-D2. And it's two op Lukes, but I thought there was a third one. But I think that was the list that I wasn't able to get a picture of.
Yeah.
For the breakdown. So op Luke was the most popular.
Yeah.
And he's that expensive. And we only had one R2-D2.
He's under 200 now.
Yeah. and we had one R2-D2. And the two Sabines, which I thought was interesting. So, like, what do you take from that? Like,
I mean,
takeaway.
Well, if you count me, I had R2. But I was a clone player.
Freaking clone. I'm honestly really more surprised that you took him in clones than the Rebels just didn't take him.
Yeah. I feel like R2 lately has been a staple for me. I have a love-hate relationship with that little guy. But anyways, that's besides the point. That's not the point here. Going back to your question, I think it's actually fairly relative of like popularity and effectiveness for the faction. Luke, who doesn't love Luke, right? Like everybody loves the boy in black and green. Sometimes other sabers, like if you're like me, and then Sabine like has a huge bonus for taking Sabine if you have Mandos, which are some of the like most interesting and played units, which are the Mandos in Clan Ren, right? So Sabine feels like a guaranteed. What I'm really surprised by is Chewbacca being present.
Same. I was very surprised. So the person that had Chewbacca was Marshall. We had Marshall, and he had Op Luke and Chewbacca and a generic commander. And he, guess what else he had in there? He had a set of Wookiees. No Mandos, though. He was kind of like, he even told me when we played a game, and he said he was playing the Rebel Jank. And we've always known Marshall for playing Rebel Jank.
Yeah.
But he always like wins the tournaments and does well with Rebel Jank. So it's not a surprise here. What was a surprise was how effective I think Chewbacca's Guardian became. Because I feel like outside of Kenobi, we've kind of forgotten that Guardian is a thing. And at first, I even asked him at one point when I wanted to shoot Chewbacca. Because Luke, I think it was like turn two, I could see Luke in, no, it was turn one, right at the very beginning. I had a sniper shot set up where I could shoot through a doorway, and I could see Luke and Chewbacca. They're back to back. And they were out of cover right through the doorway. And I'm like, oh, I guess I should just shoot Chewbacca, right? Or Luke or whatever. And he's like, yeah, sure, go for it. And I'm like, okay, doing the math in my head. Well, Luke has, what, 7 health? Chewbacca, I'm like, okay, he's got, what, the same amount of health but white saves? I'm like, he's got 7? No, he has 9 health.
Yeah.
9 health. Like, that's a lot to chew through. That's basically a B2 unit if you take away the armor 1. But he's also got Guardian. So that was a super interesting thing to see. And that was kind of why he's done. And I know a lot of people in like the TTS leagues have also, well, not a lot, but every now and then you'll see them pop up as this like kind of off meta shoot. And it was interesting because I feel like we're seeing a little bit of a resurgence of old good stuff.
Yeah.
From like classic Rebel Hero Hammer.
Yeah. And you love seeing the thematics of that too. Like looking at that table, you saw Operative Luke, you saw Chewie, but you saw the Wookiees. And it's just like, man, this is cool. Like, Wookiees being used, which is considered jank, like he even addressed. You kind of forget that Wookiees had quite a promising role, but just couldn't quite get there. So now seeing their changes making those old units really kind of something interesting to play around with, it's a good thing to see.
Yeah, it was absolutely interesting to see. I thought that was just so crazy. And I mean, like, obviously with the operatives, most people had one. You're definitely right about Sabine, because we had the two Sabines, and they were there clearly because of the Mandos. I feel like Mandos, just them coming out, Mandos coming out and Wookiees getting refreshed kind of renewed a ton of interest in Rebels, because those are what people want to play. So without further ado, I think I kind of want to skip forward from the operatives to the spec ops, because I think this is where things start to get really interesting. Because I think, and this is a discussion I actually want to have here as well, is a lot about the spec ops, because taking a tally for just the total of everything taken, I have the tally down for 3 Wookiees. No, I'm talking 3 units, because most people, you know, you're only taking the 1 or the 2. I saw 2 with one of our guys, and then 1 on another, and I thought I saw another. Bo going through the pictures and everything, I was reminded it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then, in reverse to that, snipers were the ones that we saw the absolute least. In fact, we saw two that I could think of. Three tops when you put everything together. And the one that blew my mind was there were 8 units of Mandalorians. 8 units. We had 8 players for Rebels. Now, that doesn't mean everybody took them, but most people had 1 to 2 sets of Mandalorians. Clan ran occasionally, but mostly Resistance. Like, very much Mando Resistance with a Clan Ren member plugged in.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like there wasn't ever a Clan Ren or a Mando without... Or, like, if they took Clan Ren, they had, like, Mandalorian Resistance with the Beskad Duelist, of course. If they took 2 Mandos, or 2...
Separate units,
yeah. They put Ursa and Tristan in.
Exactly.
But if they only took 1, they put either Ursa... Because I remember 2 lists where there was one that was just the Beskad Duelist because it was just cheap. It was like the way they had to do it for points. Then 1 with Tristan. Tristan is the bane of my existence. Like, I just can't stand that guy.
Man, the fact that he's a range 3 Pierce suppressive gun, it's so good. Just, he is so good.
Anakin doesn't like him, let me tell you.
That's true. He just sets up Anakin for a flock card right off the bat. He's so good.
You mean I got shot at once,
right?
And I couldn't get rid of it? Anyways, yeah.
I do want to say also, we did see a couple uses, like 2 uses of the Mandalorian rockets.
Ooh, yeah.
So not a ton, but they were definitely there. I mean, 8 Mandos, that's a lot. I think compared to everything, this was like the most commonly taken Rebel unit outside of Core Troopers because you have to take Core. And the Core Troopers, we're not even really going to talk about them because it was actually pretty well even match. Just depended on what you had.
I mean, I will say, though, as far as Core units go, I was surprised to see Fleet Troopers at all.
That was one I've thought about bringing up. I feel like for the majority of the list, there was like 1 Fleet Trooper per.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of also a good way to run it. Marshall had a Fleet Trooper. Mm-hmm. There was a Fleet Trooper, I think, in every game I played except for the 1.
Yeah.
So it was a lot. There was like 5 sets of Fleet Troopers.
I played a game with Aaron in our community a few weeks back that really sold me on the idea of what Fleet Troopers can do. And ever since then, I see people playing Fleet Troopers. I'm like, keep doing what you're doing. It's a good idea. it works.
What are your thoughts about that? Like, what kind of changed your mind on them?
Well, for one thing, at the time, I was playing with a Saber class tank, so a heavy, who I'm not used to getting hit at. But, like, and maybe it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, it caught me off guard, right? He comes around the side, my weak spot on the saber tank, has an impact gun, and then he, like, can just destroy me. Like, I wasn't worried about Fleet Troopers. I'm like, oh, they're Fleet Troopers. Oh, they have really cool stuff
they
with
have
that.
A lot of dice.
Yep.
Especially if you get to that range 2.
Yep. So, I mean, and then, if you get to range 2, which they're shooting at, they can stand by. So if you do anything, they're ready for you. So it's a weird situational gimmick, but it's cool at the same time.
Yeah. And I think the cool way that I was seeing them get played is exactly how I think they should get played, is like a one-off, maybe 2-off kind of thing, but they're mostly like linebacker units.
Yeah.
And I saw people using them. So the last game I played against Jake, I really enjoyed the way he played them because I guess with Marshall also, they played them the same exact way where they kind of ran a powerful melee unit at me. Mm-hmm. It was either Op Luke or it was Wookiees. But speed one away from those characters just behind them, dodging and out of cover, was Fleet Troopers. Mm-hmm. And so the idea with the fleets was, okay, are you going to focus down my big boy or are you going to go after the fleets? I made the decision to go after the fleets every time because even being Empire, I felt like I either was at even or more activations mm-hmm. than the Rebel players just because I feel like Rebels are taking a lot more expensive units now. But it ended up being such a weird decision to have to choose because when you put in that position, you want to shoot their big boy. It always, you know, the new player and he wants to do that. But getting the activations off the table was important. Mm-hmm. Also, the threat of that many dice, like when you surges, it can be a lot.
Yeah, and then you get that aim if you stand by. So
yeah, and that's and the reaction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, interesting. I mean, I guess we'll just kind of move on from the unit. It's interesting to see them when they're kind of viewed as like the worst.
Yeah.
Heavies, though. Oh, boy, heavies.
Heavies, heavies, heavies.
How many land or air speeders did we see?
Dude, we saw 6 air speeders. We did see 1 land speeder.
Yeah,
also.
1 land speeder, yeah. I think everyone's just really vibing with that air speeder right now, dude.
I kept seeing this combo on every table. It was like Op Luke or Sabine plus Mandos and an air speeder. And it was just, it was something else. And if it wasn't that, there was also an FD cannon, just to bring up. There were 5 FD cannons at the event between 8 lists. Like, that's averaging half the lists for Rebels. Dude, it's the most annoying thing, too, because the surge crit makes them the most scary thing on the table.
I think you said it. Well, yeah, you did say it best. When they're the best snipers in the game. Like, they have that range 5 like a sniper does, and they hit like a truck.
Oh, the FD cannons. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just T-47s, man.
Yeah. Oh, like, you were... Sorry,
I meant the T-47.
Oh, I thought we had traded gears. My apologies. But yeah, the T-47, yes, fantastic. I do think, if I'm going to add anything to that at all, it's just I kind of laugh at the T-47 because I had already thought it was really good. Like, I've been saying that for a long time. And its range 3 gun is the best, like, range 3 gun in the game. 3 reds, 3 blacks. Awesome. And I, like I said, I already thought it was good. And then I think FFG really wanted it to, like, see some play because, of course, everyone loves seeing this airspeeder. It's a cool little piece. Same with the AT-ST, right? But I think this last point update, they realized, like, okay, nobody's playing this. Let's just make it ridiculous. Like, let's make it super cheap. Let's make it surge to crit. It's just, like you said, that's just scary. So
yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how scary it is if you haven't faced them to know that there's this thing coming at you that has armor and cover, and it's important that it gets cover. Because there was a lot of times in my first game, especially like with Vader, where you throw your saber and getting that cover, you're like, okay, I got the one hit. Nah, never mind.
Saber throws range 1-2?
It's 1-2.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I was like, wait, you shouldn't be able to do that.
Well, but it gets cover built in.
Yeah.
And you can take that pilot that gives it extra cover. The one time that I did get the saber throw, he was also like right behind a building. Because we also added a lot of hike. Like I said at the very beginning, we got new terrain in. We started putting a lot of higher buildings in our terrain recently. Mm. And I have noticed that higher terrain has made for more dynamic games and more interesting games where it's not just gun line domination. But it's just very scary. And the fact that it can peek over things and the change to speeder and the compulsory move, we've talked about it before, but these things are deadly. And making lists last night, so afterwards we do the tradition. We'll go get food.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, to look at those things and to see – as we were playing around with lists after, you could fit like 10 or 11 activations with like 2 air speeders, cannons, rebel troopers, and then still have an operative like Sabine or somebody.
Yeah.
It's really wild.
Well, I remember I did some weird, stupid gimmick like a while ago where I did operative Luke and 2 air speeders. So it can be done.
It definitely
can. And I actually won that game, I'm just saying. Bro, and that's before the point changes. So, anyways.
Like, it's just very cool to see. And the other one, the FD cannon. And
yeah, now we can talk about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, the supports are the other big thing about Rebels, because, like, I remember Josh and I talking months ago, probably back in October, about how the Rebels are built off their supports. I kind of want to change that up now and say that Rebels have shifted to being a very Spec Ops-oriented play style, especially because Rebels are so mobile now, especially with Mandos. But we had 5 ATRTs, 5 FD cannons, only the 2 Tauntauns, and the Tauntauns were taken in the same list.
Dang.
So what happened is, do you remember this time last year, people were freaking out, like, Tauns and Shores are just way too good. And they need to be changed?
Yeah, I think there's a reason for that. I think a lot of people have chilled the F out. Like, there's been so much, not as much as we'd like, but there's been plenty of releases in a year where we haven't had, like, big events. Like, we haven't had, like a quote-unquote, like, pro scene. And so people are like, oh, yeah, seems good. I don't know how good it is, but it seems good. Or, oh, that kind of seems bad. But I don't know how bad because I don't have anyone to tell me. Like, it sounds bad, but there's not as much echo chambers going on right now. That's what I'm really trying to say. Like, when you're playing with a friend at a house, because that's all you can do, because maybe, like, you don't want to go into the store, you don't see as much of that. And so, I don't know. Am I wrong in that? Do you agree? What are your thoughts?
No, I have to immediately agree. Marshall has been in this recent season of Invader League, and he's doing pretty well. He's 2-1. He's got his last two games. He's got to get set up. And we were talking and joking about one of the lists that's kind of been getting a lot of hype, and that's because there's somebody who's gone 5-0 running a Palpatine list. 5-0. Do you want to know what his Palpatine list runs?
Tauntaun. No.
Hella snowtroopers.
Snowtroopers.
Tons. Do you know what's one unit that, like, I just cannot seem to wrap my mind around?
Snowtroopers.
Snowtroopers. Steady is a good keyword. It's not always my favorite. And I feel like people are also very stuck in a mindset of shores are the only thing you can take. Do you know who did more damage than my shore troopers this time? The stormtroopers. Sometimes you forget how good precise is when you're rerolling dice. Yeah. And the surging to hit.
What was their heavy? Do you know what the heavy was on those snowtroopers?
I just took the DLTs.
No, sorry, for the list of snowtroopers.
The way the list has been run, there's been like a couple flamers, a couple of the ions, like one ion, one flamer, and then the vast majority are just naked. And then there's like some storms or something. But he's been running a crazy, crazy time like that.
Interesting.
And then Palp with IRGs.
Palpatine does his Palpy thing.
He does his thing, and he's 5-0. I think there's a lot of crazy things going on. And like with Palp, it makes it better that he's got like force barrier. Like a lot of these new cards are still very relevant to old things. So I think that makes a lot of differences. Overall, like any other takeaways, thoughts, feelings? I mean, that's just the quick stats breakdown. I mean, overall, granted, these are skewed because it was a Rebel-focused tournament. So people felt like they could, you know, play around a little bit, but like thoughts, feelings?
Yeah. I think I want to build off what you just said, where it's like people felt like they could play around a little bit. It was further aided by the fact that it was a day of play, not a tournament. So people didn't feel like they had to bring like the best thing, but they also really wanted to do something that they felt was good because they wanted the extra tickets, right? So it's interesting to see that like when you look at a unit that seems fun for one, then seems good, then seems like interesting, like just the factor of being interesting, you're looking at Mandalorians as being a clear winner of all three of those categories. You're looking at Operative Luke being a winner, Airspeeder being a clear winner, FD Cannon, which, who heard of that a year ago? Who was running that? You were.
I was running him a little bit.
Yeah. And then just like, it's crazy to see how like, how these units that like maybe we didn't get a lot of thought for, people are like really trying, and that's really cool to see.
Yeah, and I kept hearing, I agree. Dude, I think that's exactly right. And I kept hearing excitement for new upgrades coming out. Like Vigilance is one that so many Rebel players are excited for. Because I can't tell you how annoying it is to get all those dodges. I feel like at first when we started playing, there were dodges, but you mostly just saw them on Force users and they didn't get used a ton and they weren't that effective. Holy crap, dude. I've seen way too many Lukes lately piled up with 3 or 4 dodge tokens not taking damage and Mandalorians dodging while they already search defense and have nimble and retinue. There's a lot. I want to say this other thing on here. Every single game I played was wild because the bid was so low. Can I mention that as well? People were fitting 9 to 11 to 12 acts in most of their lists and taking anywhere from 5 to 10 point bids. I think the average bid was 7 to 10.
Yeah. Man, I have a love-hate relationship with the bid. Like,
you had an experience with it this week.
Yeah, well, I had been playing around with the variant of a list where I was like, okay, do I play with 2 strike teams for my ARC troopers and get a perfect 800 for 10 activation list? Or do I go for 1 ARC team, full units? It hits a whole lot harder, but it takes me out of 9 activations, so I lose a bit of activation control, but I have a decent bid. I played the ARC, full ARC unit after I had played the strike teams, and I was like, oh man, I think I like the activation control more. And then I played with it a few more times. I really got comfortable with it. And then I went back to the strike teams for the day of play just to kind of experiment with it, see if I really wanted to go back to it. Immediately, I was like, nope, I cannot be a red player. I just can't do this. I cannot get Minefield, Long March, Moisture Vaps as red player. Like, I just can't.
No, like, you can't do that.
Walk up to the Moisture Vapper. How you doing? Oh, that's a bomb. So
take some suppression.
Yeah, it was nasty.
Yeah, you get some absolutely wild things. And it was so interesting to see, because before I felt like maybe in the competitive scene, I can admit that that's different. But when you walk to a casual time, and this was the day of play, the casual day, and people have these bids that are crazy like that. Like, it's, I feel like that's what Rebels have really needed. And I kind of want to just, I brought that up to emphasize the point that I feel like Rebels are in a very solid place right now. I still believe very thoroughly that they have the highest ceiling of any army, like the most amazing things you can pull off. Like, you had that, you saw that list with where everything got infiltrated and, oh, yeah, you saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that list this week where somebody infiltrated everything in. Oh, that was, I missed the djinn on here. There was a djinn.
Yeah.
There was a djinn Cassian where everything got infiltrated in, and then the boxes just ran away.
Yep.
And that was very, very, very interesting to see. And Mando's getting to boxes. I saw a lot of recover supplies.
Yeah. Now,
that was very crazy.
When Lando comes out, that's even more, and it's going to be even more annoying. Like, I can have djinn, Cassian, K2, Lando, all infiltrating in with Pathfinders also infiltrating in.
Oh, and Lando in the back line just to make sure people get their orders.
Right.
Yeah, there's...
Or, who cares? They're rebel, they're naked rebel troopers. I don't care.
Dude, I really can't wait to use Lando to just give orders to the freaking snowspeeder. It's so good.
Yeah.
It scares me. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts. I feel like they're the faction that can fail the most, but also have the most success.
Yeah.
Like, just...
If high risk, high reward.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if you, and not even like the risk, but just like, if you can figure them out, and you get your deployments right, so that's one thing I've noticed with Rebels. If they get their deployments a little bit wrong, and they're not completely objective focused, you can get them wiped off the table. Mm-hmm. Especially with Mandos. I like Mandos, but I feel like very often they get caught out in the open and they get one shot. I don't know if you've had that experience yet, where. You do that to them, and like just very early they get caught. So I feel like if you can get your deployments, you can get your plan of action, and then get that bid. It's a lot to do, but I feel like it means that the other armies are just not going to be able to do anything with you. Maybe a little bit the clones if they can outshoot you, droids if they can play that objective. But like, it was very interesting.
Agreed.
Yeah, high ceiling, very low floor.
Very low. Get low. Yeah. Well, I think that about does it for this week. Matt, do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
No, I think that's it. Just please, AMG, help Vader. He needs some help. He hits hard, but gosh dang it, he's so slow. And off Vader, while he's good, he's just, I don't know, man. Maybe you don't need to make a change because you got Anakin.
He's the best Vader in the game.
Give us a quiz.
give the Empire a early Vader where he's still Anakin's body.
Just give me an inquisitor. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for this week's episode. Everyone, feel free to follow us on Discord. We do leave that link in the description on all our platforms. And you know, if you're a first time listener, we really appreciate you giving us the time of day today. And until next time, everyone, we'll see you later.